I want to talk to you today from 2 Samuel, the 7th chapter, on the subject of prayer. Our message this morning is on the subject of prayer, how to have confident and successful prayer, how we may be assured of success in our prayer life. On a recent Sunday morning, I'm not sure if it was last Sunday or not, but certainly recently, I believe it was 2 weeks ago, I talked to you from the fourth chapter of the book of James on prayer and why so many of our prayers are not answered because we pray in order to consume on our own lusts and on our own pleasures. Today I want to take a little different aspect of prayer, and I want to give you a key, which would not be new to many of you, but certainly we can all stand to have some refresher training in this area of prayer. How we may have a confident assurance in our praying, and how we may have success in our prayer life. Most prayers are not successful. Most praying people are not terribly successful in their prayers. I'm going to show you this morning one key reason why not. Very many sincere Christians have only limited success in their prayer life. 2 Samuel chapter 7, a story from the life of King David. A wonderful lesson and one that is central to successful praying. This is not all the answers to prayer, just one of them. And it came to pass when the king sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. And Nathan said to the king, Go do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. David had a desire to build a house for God. It was his idea, not God's. It was a good idea, but it was not God's idea. And David had decided that's what he was going to do. It's not good for the presence or the ark of God to dwell in a tent with curtains while I dwell in an established house built from cedar logs. I'm going to build a house for the Lord. Verse number 4, And it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord, now underline the phrase, the word of the Lord, because that's critical to what we're going to be seeing today. It came to pass that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying, Go and tell my servant David, Thus saith the Lord, Shalt thou build me an house for me to dwell in? Whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but have walked in a tent, and in a tabernacle. In all the places wherein I have walked with all the children of Israel, spake I a word with any of the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people Israel, saying, Why build ye not me an house of cedar? Now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, Thus saith the Lord of hosts. Underline that. Thus saith the Lord. I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. And I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and I will plant them that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time. And as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies. Also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee an house. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. Thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. According to all these words, and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. Now, what did God say? God said, I've never asked anybody, you nor anybody else, to build me a house. As a matter of fact, I have some things I'm going to promise you. And in the passage that we just read, God promised David that he would do a number of things, two of which I want you to draw a particular note of. From the 11th verse, God said, you want to build me a house. Tell you what I'm going to do, David. I'm going to build you one. I'm going to build you a house. The second thing he said in the 13th verse was, I will build your house and establish the throne of that kingdom forever. I'll establish your house and your throne forever. Now we know that Jesus came from the house of David, the seed of David, and we know that Jesus is on the throne forever. God gave to Jesus an eternal kingdom, one that would never diminish nor never die, of the increase of his kingdom and government. Isaiah prophesied there shall be no end. Now that's the fulfilling of the promise. I'm satisfied that David did not see that quite that far into the future and saw this only in the immediate future, and that was the promise that God was establishing for his children to rule on the throne of Israel. Now, having had this word come from Nathan, from God through Nathan to David, let's see how David responded. He responded with prayer. In the 18th verse, then went King David in and sat before the Lord, and he said, Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? This was yet a small thing in thy sight, O Lord God, but thou hast spoken also of thy servant's house for a great while to come. And is this the manner of men, O Lord God? And what can David say more unto thee? For thou, Lord God, knowest thy servant. For thy word's sake, and according to thine own heart, hast thou done all these great things to make thy servant know them. Wherefore thou art great, O Lord God, for there is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And what one nation in the earth is like thy people, even like Israel, whom God went to redeem for a people to himself, and to make him a name, and to do for you great things and terrible for thy land, before thy people, which thou redeemest to thee from Egypt, from the nations and their gods. For thou hast confirmed to thyself thy people Israel to be a people unto thee forever, and thou, Lord, art become their God. And now, O Lord God, the word that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house, establish it forever, and do as thou hast said. And let thy name be magnified forever, saying, The Lord of hosts is the God over Israel, and let the house of thy servant David be established before thee. For thou, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, hast revealed to thy servant, saying, I will build thee an house. Therefore hath thy servant found in his heart to pray this prayer unto thee. And now, O Lord God, thou art that God, and thy words be true, and thou hast promised this goodness unto thy servant. Therefore now let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may continue forever before thee. For thou, O Lord God, hast spoken it, and with thy blessing let the house of thy servant be blessed forever. What did David pray? What did he specifically ask for? After he had prayed, Who am I and what is my house? After he had prayed, What can I say that you don't already know, for you know me so well? After he said, You're great, and there's no other God like you, what did he ask for? What did he request? Verse 25 contains his prayer. And now, O Lord God, the word that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning this house, establish it forever and do as thou hast said. What did he ask for? Lord, make me a house. And Lord, make it, establish it forever. Where would a man get courage like that? Where would a man get the strength or the boldness to ask God to establish his family forever? To build him a house meant to establish his family and to make that family last forever. Where would a man get that kind of brashness? Where would he get that kind of courage? Why would a man ask that kind of a thing of God? He would get it from the promise of God, wouldn't he? For he said in the 27th verse, "For thou, O Lord God of hosts, God of Israel, hast revealed to thy servant, saying, You revealed this to me. You said, therefore hath thy servant found in his heart to pray this prayer unto thee." The New International Version says, "So your servant has found the courage to offer you this prayer." Most prayer that is prayed is merely hopeful or wishful thinking and is therefore weak. Most of the prayer that goes up from Christians is wishful, hopeful, and weak. Weakness in prayer comes from either ignorance, it comes from laziness, or it comes from both. Confident, successful prayer is based on knowing the promises of God and praying them. Everything else is presumption. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 7, I'd like to read it to you. Jesus is teaching on the subject of prayer, and he described how most people pray when he told his disciples how not to pray. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 7. "But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." The word vain means empty. The word repetitions mean lots of words. Jesus said, when you pray, don't use empty repetitions. Don't fill your mouth with lots of empty words. For those that do so think that the longer they pray and the more words they have, that will cause them to get a hearing in the realm of the Spirit. Those who pray that way are like the heathen. Now, what synonym would you use to describe heathen beyond that? A heathen is the opposite of a believer. He's an unbeliever. Jesus said, if you love me and follow me and believe in me and serve me, you may still pray just like the heathen. And lots of folks do. They pray lots of words. They pray empty words. And they think that because of the length of their prayers and the amount of the words that they're going to be heard in heaven. Jesus said, don't pray that way. That's like the unbeliever prays. Now, here's how to pray. Chapter 21, book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 21, reading two verses from the 21st. Jesus answered and said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." Read the 22nd verse aloud with me. "And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." What is the primary condition for confident and successful prayer? Believing. It is not the amount of prayer that gets results. It's not the volume of prayer that makes one's prayer life successful. It is the faith that is mixed with it that causes it to succeed. Mark chapter 11, same idea in the 24th verse. Mark 11 and verse number 24. "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them." What's the condition there for successful praying? "Believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." Well, we know where faith comes from, don't we? Faith for everything, including faith for believing prayer. Romans 10 and 17 says, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." The word of God, not the word of men. Either God's written word or God's spoken word. We have a great many people in the body of Christ who have discovered the power of God and have been taught that the way to get things from the Lord, to get prayers answered, is to just go naming and claiming, just whatever you want, just name it and claim it. I've found that there's more success in prayer like this. Father, what's your word on this subject? Then name it and claim it. Naming and claiming without knowing the promises is not going to produce anything. You must have the word of God to stand on. Everything else will perish. Everything else will pass away. The book of Isaiah chapter 40, please. Isaiah chapter 40, reading from the 6th verse, 3 verses. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. The only thing that has the power to sustain faith in prayer is the word of God. Everything else is like grass, and it's in the process of drying up and blowing away. No other confidence will work. Psalm chapter 12, verse 6. The words of the Lord are pure words. As silver is tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. The word has been purified and has nothing in it that needs any further refining. There's nothing in the word of God that will contaminate your prayer, like selfishness, like lust, like impatience, like harm to another person. When you pray according to the word of God, there's nothing in it impure. But when we pray according to our own vanities and when we pray according to our own ways and our own thoughts and our own desires, we do not have that kind of purity in our praying. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 12. Then the Lord said unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. I will hasten, the word hasten is a word, perhaps I could give you some synonyms for this word hasten. The word hasten is translated from the Hebrew word meaning be alert or be sleepless, to be on the lookout for, to be on the watch for. God said to Jeremiah, and I believe he speaks to us, I will be sleepless and I will be on the lookout for my word. And when I hear it, I will perform it. We do not have any promise of God to perform our word, but we do have His promise to perform His word. Now let's go back to 2 Samuel again, and let me show you something here. It is true that David had a special place in the heart of God. It is true that David had walked with God for many years. It is true that David had served the Lord mostly faithfully for many years. But it is not true that he had his prayers answered because of any of those things. David had his prayers answered because he prayed the word of God. David had his prayers answered because he prayed the promise. He found out what the word of God was on that situation, and then he asked God for it. God had promised him to build a house. David said, build me a house. God said, I'm going to establish your throne forever. God said, Lord, establish my throne forever. God said, I'm going to bless you and your house. David said, Lord, bless me and my house. Verse number 29 of chapter 7. Perhaps we could, let's just start up a little higher and take it on down through. Verse 25. Let's start at verse 25. Let's see how David prayed. And now, O Lord God, the word that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house, establish it forever and do as thou hast said. Now, here's his request sandwiched between the promise twice. One piece of meat, two pieces of bread. Just as you spoke, do it as you said. The do it is the piece of meat between the two sandwich pieces. Can you see it there? How would he get the confidence to say do it? Because God had promised it. Verse 26. Let thy name be magnified forever, saying, the Lord of hosts is the God over Israel. Let the house of thy servant David be established forever. For thou, O Lord God, our Lord of hosts, God of Israel, hast revealed, there it is again, hast revealed to thy servant, saying, you gave me your word, you said, therefore hath thy servant found in his heart to pray this prayer unto thee. And now, O Lord God, that art good, thy words be true. There it is again. Thy words be true. Thou hast promised this goodness unto thy servant. Therefore, now let it please thee. Do it. Bless the house of thy servant, that it may continue forever before thee. And then here it is again. For thou, O Lord God, hast spoken it. Now let me put this in ordinary language for you. As I was reading through this passage, these verses, this 25th through the 29th verse, just impressed me so much that David would have the boldness and the confidence to pray such a, to make such a brash request. But the confidence with which he asked it of God and the assurance that he had that he would receive it was based completely and totally and entirely not on his understanding. He said, I don't understand how you could do this. Who am I? I'm nothing. What can I say to you that you don't already know? You're great. You're the great God. I don't know, Lord, but you said you'd build me a house and establish it forever. Therefore, build me a house and establish it forever. In other words, I'm in agreement with your word. I'm in agreement with your promise. I want that. You said you would, and so now I'm asking you for it. The only success that I've ever had in my prayer life since I've been a Christian, is when I have been able to find the promise in the Word of God. The specific promise, either in this book or have Him speak it to me personally. Apart from the promise, I can't pray it with any confidence. I don't have any boldness. I don't have any believing. I have prayed many wishful prayers. I have prayed many I hope prayers. I have prayed many, God, this would be a good thing for you to do for me. Please do it. I've prayed lots of them. Very unsuccessfully. Very unprofitably. And I'm going to tell you what I'm seeing. That most of, I've said this before, but the Lord's just bringing it back to me again. That before we spend so much time in prayer, we need to spend the time finding the will of God and the promise of God to support our praying. Allah, we are awaiting the Lord to move on our behalf for some additional space, aren't we? We went over to the space and we claimed it. We laid hold upon it. We put our feet down on it and we're believing it in. But do you remember what we did before we ever did that? I told you that the first day we went and looked at that property, the elders stood together with hands joined in a circle in the parking lot and said, God, we don't even know if we should ask you for this. Lord, we don't even know how we should pray. Lord, we don't know if we should request this or not. You've got to speak to us. Is that right, guys? That the way we prayed that day? Lord, you're going to have to instruct us on this. And we waited. And he did. He spoke to us prophetically. He spoke to us through the preached word. He spoke to us in our spirits. We went over there and joined together in that same parking lot and said, God, you said it's ours, therefore give it to us. Now you watch what happens. And you watch what the Lord produces. I've never had any success in prayer apart from finding His will first and then pray. And I'm going to tell you something. We need to spend more time, I think most of us, more time finding the will, praying for the will of God. What's your promise, Lord? And then the praying for the receiving of it is really not very much involved. Does that make any sense to you? If I had a need in my life today, the first thing I would do is go to the Bible and go to the Lord in personal prayer. Lord, what's your promise concerning this situation? This circumstance in my life, this situation in my business, this situation in my personal direction. God, what is your promise? What is your will for me and for my life in this situation? If you will do your praying that way, once you get your answer, there'll be very little prayer involved in order to bring the manifestation and to bring the result. David knew how to touch God. I believe the saints of God all through the Bible did as well. You'll read the first chapter of Luke and find out how Mary responded to the promise of God that came through the angel. Eh? Amen? The Lord is not impressed with our understanding. He's impressed with our praying, or with our faith, rather, our believing. And it's believing prayer that touches Him and gets things done. And the only thing that will support faith is the Word of God, the promise of God. Let us pray.